Well, we're in a series right now, going through some spiritual disciplines, and the one we're looking at today, before I get to that, actually last week we talked about solitude and the difference between solitude and isolation, and it was amazing. Just got a bunch of texts from people sending me pictures of and some emails about what they were doing with their solitude and putting it actually into practice. I thought that was really neat, how people are practically taking these things and putting them into their lives as well. Today we're looking at confession, and I will confess this morning, full on, vulnerable in front of all of you, I was very happy last night with the NHL results of the hockey game. Who? Anybody clapping with me? Anybody? Any takers? All right. I'm sorry. I know I should be on board. Edmonton's Canada's team. I get it. But anyways, I'm going to move on. So I'm not bitter. No, I'm not bitter. No. I'm just enjoying the moment because it's fun. So it would be nice to see Connor McDavid win a championship, but that's my confession this morning. We're going to move on forward. If you just pray for my bitterness then, that'd be good. So yeah, as we talk about confession this morning, I pray your heart is prepared for that as well. You prepare this week, and as we think about that this morning. There are four friends meeting for a gathering, just hanging out one day. And during the conversations, one of the men had said to the rest of the group, hey, we should pour our hearts to each other and confess our sins to one another and in our need for confession because it's good for the soul. And as they hum and hawed a little bit, they all agreed it was a good thing to be doing. So one started off and he confessed, well, I like to go to the casino. And often I would sneak up on my own and do that. And then the rest of the group was encouraged by this confession. And a second man confessed and he's like, you know what? One of my confession things is I like to smoke cigars. And so the room's a little tense at this point. And the third man confesses and he says, I really like to play cards. And I sneak out and do my own thing. And when it came to the fourth man, he wouldn't confess. He wouldn't say anything. And the others were pressing him and saying, hey, we confessed our sins and our struggles. Why are you not confessing? What is your secret or what is your vice? And finally, after a few minutes, this man lamented and relented and simply said, well, my sin of confession is I love to gossip and I can't wait to get out of here. So we hear the word confession. Sometimes we can think of perhaps a Catholic church where you go to a priest and you stand into a little room and there's a little curtain there and you stand and you sit and you kneel and you confess your sins and people might think like that. And I know folks that have practiced that way of what they do and they confess those things as well. And when we think about confession, we might think of it as a negative thing, a negative reaction to when we think about confession. Because confession sometimes can mean horrible things as well. People confess to crimes, they confess to things that aren't necessarily good. But when we think about the word confession, it's this idea of freedom as well, this idea that it talks about confessing to agree that what we're doing is not right, and we're agreeing with God as well, perhaps we need to confess these things. And it's almost like coming clean. And it's an opportunity for us to do that. So when we think about confession, I want us to kind of shift our thinking this morning and not look at it as a guilt-ridden thing or something that somebody's out to get you, but this idea of reconciliation with Jesus and with other people as well. Because it's an important spiritual practice that we should put in our lives on a regular basis. Now, when you think about confession, when you think about it scripturally and biblically, when you come to salvation, one of the things we confess is our salvation in Christ, that we actually declare who Jesus is. And the Bible says this in Romans 10. It says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So we receive salvation, we actually make a statement. The essential doctrine of Christianity is this, what I just read. And we confess that. And it's a good thing to be doing. But in the context of this morning, we're going to talk about this idea of confessing our sins to one another, but also confessing to God directly. And what does that look like for us? I remember many years ago, I was speaking at a camp, and I did an exercise with everybody, and we were talking about confession and what it means to bring those things forward to the Lord. And we had a cross set up on the front, and I asked everybody to just take some time, some quietness. We had a quiet time in the service. Take a piece of paper and write down on the piece of paper anything you need to confess to God. And it's just between you and him. And you write that thing down. And I spoke a little bit longer and asked people to take that piece of paper they had and there was some tape up here as well. They would come, and they would put that confession on paper they wrote down, take a piece of tape, and tape it to the cross. And that's what we did. And it took a while. It took a minute for people to have enough courage to actually start to go up there. And what was interesting is people slowly walked to the cross, and we could read what they wrote. But the whole idea was to create a place of safety and this idea to say what you write down, there's no judgment. But it's this idea that you write these things down to confess these things to the Lord. So they wrote those things down. We spent some time praying together. And it was amazing during this whole exercise. People were just being moved by the Spirit, realizing there's things in their heart they needed to confess and to bring before Jesus. And it helped them actually deepen their relationship with Christ. And it became a part of their life on a regular basis, because people are saying how they needed to do this on a regular, how it's really important to consider, because sin separates us from God. It absolutely does. It actually hinders our prayers as well. It can cause strife in our life. And we need to understand that and to recognize that too. And the Bible says this in Isaiah 59, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So when we think about that, there's a deep thought to that to consider, that unconfessed sin can actually bring us a lack of peace in our life. It can cause us to live in a way that we're always worried and scattered about things, and we're not serving, we're actually performing instead. And we have to realize that too. The Bible also says in Psalm 20:32 says this, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." So what's amazing is when we confess our sins, we receive forgiveness. The Bible says this in Psalm 32, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." So when you think about these things, and it's important to realize that when we do these things, we confess these things to the Lord, there's a freeing in that. There's something good about that. It's a powerful thing in our relationship with Jesus that we consider those things as well. The Bible says this also in 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness." So when you consider all these things and we think about confession, what do we have to consider? We have to consider this. Who do we confess our sins to? We confess to God. You know, as we think about people who have different practices when it comes to confessing our sins, and there's people who will go to another person to confess their sins, and we can do that, but we can't receive forgiveness from someone if we sin against God. We go to God directly, and he can absolve our sins. He can do that for us. That's the beautiful thing about having a relationship with Jesus, is we can go to him. Now, we confide in one another. We can share those things with one another as well. And it's important to do that. But we should always confess our sins directly to God. And it's a spiritual practice that we should be doing in our life. It's something to be reflecting on as we think about that. James 5:16 tells us to confess our sins to one another. So we confess our sins to God. And now we confess our sins to other people as well. Now, what does that look like for us? I think it's important that we have trusted brothers and sisters in our life that love Jesus, that we can go to, and not because we got caught or we did something, but we actually do it on our own through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which brings life, and we go to people and we share those things. And we do it to encourage one another, to not again to say, "I gotcha, you're a bad person," but it's this idea that we create this community, having other people in our life that will help us go through these challenges in life, be accountable, to learn in godly ways, to love one another, to make sure that we know that we're not in this alone. We are in this with other people as well who struggle, just like the rest of us do, and it's important to do that. So we confess our sins to God. We confess our sins to other people as well. And have you ever thought that? Have you ever done that? Is that a part of a regular practice of your life where you can bring things to the Lord, obviously, but there's other people in your life that you're talking to about, that hold you accountable, that will come alongside if you're going down the wrong path, that may not say things to you that are easy to hear, but they still have a relation with you enough that they can do that for you. It's important to have those kind of people. And it's important because it helps us grow relationship with each other as well. And when we do confession, and we confess with, you know, church leaders as well, and each other, we do it with humility. We don't do it with pride. We do it with honesty. We confess our sins in such a way where we can recognize that we are weak and we are sinners. And I don't think that's a bad thing to think about, because sometimes what we do when we think about our relationship with Jesus and we hear that we're sinners, people feel like, well, no, I'm not a sinner. I'm set free by grace. Yes, you are, 100%. Positionally, as Christ followers, that doesn't change. But when we have sin in our life, there is a gap between our relationship with Jesus and us. There's this fellowship has been broken. There's a lack of peace. There's things that are going on. And I've heard many Christians say over the years that, no, I'm saved by grace. I don't need to confess anything. I can continue to live the life I want to do. And I'm good. And this is not right. It cheapens God's grace. You are saved. However, we cannot deceive ourselves and pretend that we do not have sin in our life, because the Bible talks about this very clearly. I'll get to that in a second. So I know as we think about this morning, this idea of confessing, we do it with discretion, obviously. We pick the right context and the right people we do that with. People that perhaps are equipped to listen to what we have to say. They're going to spur us on. That are not just going to say the things we want to hear, but are actually purposeful in the conversations. Because this will produce good fruit in our life as well. Now, it doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we have it all together. But this idea of confessing our sins, there's purpose behind it. I think we want to be honest. And when we talk about these situations and somebody asks you a question about what's going on in your life, we have an option, don't we? We can tell the full story of what's really going on, or we tell part of the story. And what's interesting is when you find people that stumble into sin or make some terrible choices in their life, moral failure or whatever the case may be, and you ask the hard questions, they'll tell part of the story but never the full story. Because they think part of the story is just enough, and they want to let you hear just enough to kind of get you off my back. But I'm not going to tell you everything. Because if I tell you everything, then you're going to know everything. And that's what we have to consider as well. There's this idea of being using discretion, using humility, using purpose in our conversations as well. And that's where, again, accountability comes in. People can pray for us. People can walk with us. It's important. The Bible says this in 1 John 8:9. It says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, just because we're not aware of sin in our lives doesn't mean we're free from transgressions. We have to understand that as well, because sometimes we get so far from God, when you get so far from God and the choices we make, we don't even feel the conviction of sin anymore. And we end up going through the motions of the faith, and we're so far from Jesus that we're not even convicted by the things we're saying or doing. And all of a sudden our hearts are hardened and we're not spirit-filled anymore and we're deceiving ourselves. And we are actually doing that. And something we have to consider as well, we can have to understand that we can step out of the favor of God because of our choices. It happens. And as we think about confession, we need to discover the powerful truth of biblical Christianity, which means we are forgiven, yes, and we walk in the power of God because of who he is. But I hope that when we walk with Jesus that our relationship with Jesus isn't based on religion. It's based on a true relationship with him. Not because we owe him, but because we want to live a life that honors him because of what he's done for us. I was having a conversation with someone last week about this idea of giving back to the Lord, not out of works, not out of guilt or shame, but out of the desire in our heart to give back because of what he's done for us. And to recognize that. And to do our best that we want to walk with him because of what he's done for us on the cross. And how much he's saved us by grace. And how much he's forgiven each one of us. And we live in such a way that we don't live through the power of sin anymore, but we live through the power of forgiveness and grace that comes through Christ. But when we step out of fellowship with God, we lose the vitality in our Christian faith. We don't live by the Spirit anymore. We live by religious and religious rules. We're more legalistic. We're more judgmental. We tend to make decisions that don't honor him or honor people in our lives. Now, I just said this before. We're not perfect in this, but the beautiful thing about walking in step with Christ, it helps us be sensitive to sin. It helps us be sensitive to things we're doing that perhaps are breaking the Lord's heart. And it's something to consider as well. Again, positionally, you're good. However, this idea of forgiveness is important, that we do not live in sin, that we do not violate God's character, that when God forgives us, we live in that, because Christ paid for our sin on the cross. And it's important for us to realize that as well, that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, the payment has already been made for us. But when we think about confession, when we think about this idea of what does that mean, it's going to require some sense of vulnerability, isn't it? To be honest and real, to say, I don't have all the answers. I am struggling in some areas. It's okay to talk like that. I think it builds the church. I think it's important to do that. Have you done that? Have you have somebody in your life where you can share those things with? That perhaps the Lord has put something on your heart that is going on in your relation with him, that has continued to cause you to stumble. But instead of looking at it through the eyes of understanding your relationship with God, you justify it. And instead of talking about it, you ignore it. And it builds up in your life. And there's things that are going on around you. You don't know why. See, I've said this before. We can choose our sin, but we can't choose our consequences. We have to understand that. And this isn't a conversation of guilt or shame, but it's a conversation of asking ourselves the question is going, is there anything going on in relation with Jesus that I need to make right, that I need to figure out with him? Are we blinded to the things we're doing that perhaps are breaking our fellowship with Jesus? See, confessing our sins doesn't make us weak. Matter of fact, I think it brings us strength, because in our weaknesses, we can see Jesus shine in and through us. I'm not sure about you guys, but I often can relate to people that don't have it all together, that are honest about the relationship with Jesus and their own choices. There's something refreshing about that. There isn't this game of religion being played to do and say all the right things for those who are over spiritual, but there's this authenticity to it. There's something real about it. And when they come and confess and they want to make things right because their relationship with Jesus means that much to them, that there's such an honesty and vulnerability to that. And as we think about that this morning, when was the last time you confessed your sin to anyone outside of God, which we know we need to talk to directly? What about our spouses? What about our family and our friends? What are those things that we actually volunteer and bring forward versus waiting till we get caught? How well do we do that? It's a spiritual exercise. It takes courage to do so. It's a discipline. It's not something we just brush through and brush by. But we have to be able to do this with people we trust that aren't going to take what you said and share it with the next person because it becomes the gossip train. And that happens, unfortunately. We have to realize that as well. See, confession is good. Forgiveness is good. And just like communion and baptism, these are proclamations and things we do to glorify God in our lives, to show the transformation power of Christ in our life. When we do these things, we understand and we are living out the power of Christ's death and resurrection in our life. It's an opportunity for us to do that. You know, as I talked about solitude last week, I talked about this idea of spending time with the alone with the Lord, and sometimes that means with going into the woods or going for a bike ride or even taking an animal with you, whatever it takes, you can spend that time with the Lord to be in that culture of just quietness. And it's a good thing for us. And when we think about confession, I don't want us to fear this idea or to dread this idea. See, the enemy of our soul does not want us to tell anybody or confess our sins, because he'd much rather have us walk in darkness and in shame and in guilt than actual freedom that comes in Christ. And I hope and pray that is your heart this morning. Now, I obviously don't know your heart. You obviously don't know my heart. And Jesus knows everything. Amen? And that's all that matters. And as we consider that this morning, perhaps you've come today and maybe you're living with shackles and chains in your life. That you're tied down to the heaviness of these shackles and sin in your life. And you've not been able to actually confess them, or you feel like you don't need to, or the enemy has you so going the wrong direction that you think what you're doing is okay. Now, these things are important to talk about because it helps us draw closer to Jesus and to each other. One of the greatest psalms in the scriptures is Psalm 51. And this is a psalm that David wrote in confession. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the psalm to you, all of us. And as I read it, it's a few verses. I just want you to listen to the words. And we're actually going to practice confession today. After I read the psalms, there's a couple more things. And then the worship team's going to come up. And they're just going to play some music. They're not going to sing the last song right away. And it's an opportunity for you to confess what you need to confess. Well, you don't have a cross where you're going to write down your iniquities on a piece of paper today. I actually thought about doing that today. Decided not to. But it's an opportunity for us to quiet our hearts to do that. So that's the plan for the next few moments now, to be able to do that. As I read this, I pray these words would encourage you and shower over you, and that you would have a posture of just being open to what God has for you. Perhaps in this moment, perhaps the rest of this day, perhaps this week coming up, that just like when people send me texts and emails last week about them spending time in solitude, I'm not saying you share these things with me in confession, but what I'm saying is this. Will you practice what we talk about here today? Because this stuff's very, very important to consider. One of the good things about going through the spiritual disciplines, it's very practical. It's very real. It's something we can put in our life day to day. So the scriptures will be on the screen as well. You can close your eyes. You can read out your own Bible, your own device, whatever you have. And let's just quiet our hearts. I'll read this, and we'll continue on. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I'll teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, and the burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. You know, Psalm 51 is probably the most comprehensive prayer confession in the Bible. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of confession. And when you look at the psalm, this confession of repentance is based on God's grace. This confession of repentance is openly acknowledging our sin as well. And ultimately, all of our sin, according to the psalm, is a sin against God. It also talks to this idea about this, there's this depth of sin within all of us. And to recognize that as well. That we can be forgiven. That we can be cleansed if that is our desire. But only God can bring about eternal change. Only He can do that. And that's what's happening in this psalm. So as the worship team comes up now, they're going to play one last song, but before they actually sing the lyrics, they're just going to strum for a little bit. Come on up, worship team. And it's going to lead us through some of the song, and if you need to pull out this verse again, Psalm 51, out of your Bible, if you just want to sit in quietness as we do this, I encourage you to take this moment. And just in a few moments, as the worship team decides, they will lead us through the last song. And at the end of this, if you feel like you need a prayer, talk to someone, many of us are available for that as well. I encourage you to go into this with an open spirit, open mind. Don't have a hardened heart. If you think and you're saying this to yourself, well, this has nothing to do with me, let that be a warning that this has absolutely then to do everything about you. So let's have a teachable spirit this morning. Amen.